Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back
to another episode of Buffalo Happy Hour. Mike, what's going on? Say the word of our sponsors that we don't have while I fix my camera.
Right. Well, today I decided to dress like a tablecloth, so that's exciting. I have a Banana Republic untucked designed shirt on for absolutely no reason with my nice daily driver and a watch. And Derek is always fixing because his OCD and anal compulsive things are happening. You're acting like this episode is starting like Catholic Mass. Sit, stand, kneel. Can you just figure it out? What is going on? We are drinking scotch. We just recorded 4 Wednesday Whiskey Reviews, and we have no sponsors for the weekly episodes, which is fine, but we are still sending things over to our Patreon. If you want to follow over there, we appreciate it. Multiple tiers to choose from, but Derek, we always start with useless facts and then dive into the meat and potatoes of the episode. So,
Meat and taters.
Useless fact for today's episode. Are you ready?
Sure.
You are less than a month away from becoming a father for the first time.
Is it the useless fact?
Yeah.
All right.
How do you feel? Where are you at? Where are you guys? We got to give an update to the audience for one, but for two, this is a big deal. I mean, it's your first child.
Nah, it's not a big deal.
It's your first child. Not for you. You're just going to watch. But right. Like, you know, I've been there. I get
and
it.
And just but, like saw that cord in half, you know. Did you do it?
Yeah, of course. Did I watched? I held a leg and I cut the cord. I was a barbarian about it. I wanted to be involved. But it's not.
Did you almost throw up or no?
No, it's not that big of a deal.
Good.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
So I plan on doing it.
Gina asked me if I could. Bother you, right? Yeah,
no, God, no. Gina asked me if I could, and I'm like, well, I don't feel like I cannot.
Yeah, I'm not incapable.
Yeah, I'm not a beta male. I'll be able to cut it.
Well, not only that, but you have nothing holding you back. You're not Christopher Reeves post-accident. You know, like you can cut something.
Yeah, I'm a capable human.
They give you scissors. It's not.
Oh, good. I was scared that I would have to use my nail. I don't. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's.
But yeah, scissors. No, I'm good, dude. I'm excited. Gina asked me the other day, she's like, what are you most excited of? I'm like, just learning to be a dad. Like, I think that that's what's going to be most exciting for me is just like figuring it out.
The new routine?
Yeah, because like everybody, if anyone has kids, you know, and from everything that I've heard from people, from you, from all my other friends that have kids, from everybody that I've talked to, is that nobody really knows what they're doing until it happens. So you can prepare you. And that's kind of what I'm telling Gina is like, we can prepare, we can do this, we can do that, we can do everything that we're supposed to. 99% sure that everything that happens is not written in a book. So why are you even worrying about it? Just let it happen. It's going to suck for the first year. Completely understand. Just let it happen. Everything will be okay.
101% things are not written in a book. You're going to learn more from Instagram Reels than you are from literature. Yeah. And that's fine. There's one-offs, and like I was telling you before, it gets to a point where you're just so excited to learn and be a part of the process that it consumes you. Yeah. Like, it's nothing to fear. you're just pumped to hold this thing.
Right.
You know, like that's it.
Yeah.
I was talking to our graphic designer. His name will be anonymous.
Everybody knows it's Tom.
Oh, fuck Tom. So I was talking to him and as well as Colleen. And I said, I'm looking at their new home, which is gorgeous. Objectively. And I'm like, the first couple months, they're never going to use a nursery or right. they're never going to sleep in their actual room. Yeah. They're going to sleep upstairs mm-hmm. and they're just going to get sick of walking up and down the stairs. And then there's also the point of Gina's going to be in recovery mode. She's not going to want to walk up and down the stairs. Mm-hmm. You know, like she's just going to want to do her thing and sleep. But it's not that it's motivating, but it is motivating. It's kind of like a baseline reset neutral of gender roles mm-hmm. that is like so humbling and exciting to dive into where you're like, this is literally why I'm on Earth.
Yeah.
And it removes all current events, politics, not like who gives a shit. Like none of it matters. Your wife delivered your child, needs help in the shower. You're not talking about pronouns.
Right.
Your kid, your child, your daughter, in this case, is crying at 1 a.m. It's your shift. Nothing else matters.
Right.
You get out of bed. Yeah. You know, like, it's just, it's amazing.
I mean, Harrison Butker would say your wife gets out of bed. Uncle, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Uncle Harrison would say roll over and go to sleep and your wife takes over. But yeah, you know, Uncle Harrison knows, oh, but God. It's just such a, it's such a reset.
Yeah.
And when you take in my singular opinion, 3 weeks is perfect for men to take on paternity leave mm-hmm. because the first 2 weeks, it's literally just like survival mode.
Yeah.
Appreciate all of the baby things that you have equipment wise, like your bassinet, your non-cloth swaddles, like all of the things where you're like, used to it in the hospital, and then you come home and you realize how nice Graco stuff is, and you're excited about it, and you're like, yo, this is bougie. Like, that's really cool. Like,
that's literally all that we have.
Yeah.
I put together our pack and play, and I'm like, oh, the sides are okay. That's perfect. Let's
yeah,
go.
You know, like, you're pumped to use your crib. Like, yeah. you're excited for that, and then you dive into your diaper surplus, and you're like, this is really cool. Like, it's my setup, you know, like, I can do diapers my way with my system, and you're diving into bottles and you're figuring out the routine of cleaning everything and you're playing chess with mm-hmm. the bottle game and you're prepping things. Like you're literally three steps ahead because you're home all day and work doesn't matter. Like you're getting paid, right? And you know, you'll deal with taxes at the end of the year, like whatever. And you're sitting there thinking, wow, this is it. You know, like this is why we prepped for 9 months. This is why we got married. This is why we fell in love. Like it all comes full circle at a whole different level of appreciation. And you realize, you know, we'll record when we record and it doesn't matter. You know, like if we have an hour for me to record one video in the studio, great. You know, we'll edit it later. Like who cares? Yeah. Like it's literally just how is she, you know? And that's, I'm so pumped for this whole phase for both of you because you're gonna love it, man. Like yeah. it's so much fun. Like it's not this big thing where everybody tells you, oh my God, you know, like who fuck those, like just right. eliminate the noise. Yeah. You know, like this is the time for you and Gina to not just only grow closer, but realize like the amount of work that each of you put in and dude, her evolutionary instincts as a mom just skyrocket and you're like, damn.
Yeah.
You know, like I, after watching this, I'm good with one. If you want to, I love you enough to like do it because I've never been more attracted to you ever because I've just watched you do this.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's going to be the other way around. I'm going to be the one pushing for two.
Really?
Yeah.
So
I've always wanted to. I mean, I grew up with a sister. You grew up with a sister.
Yeah.
My best friend, our graphic designer, Tom, he was a single child for a very, very long time.
I see where I stand.
And yeah, for sure. And he was a single child for a very long time. And honestly, if he didn't have me, he would be more broken than he is today. You know, like he's a train wreck already. Can't imagine him being without me, you know, right? Like I'm the glue that holds his whole psyche together, you know? But like if all joking aside, I feel like our baby will have friends, but there's nothing like a sibling.
No, of course.
There's nothing like a sibling.
Now, let me ask you, when you were dating before marriage, and you were talking about, like, okay, how do you vote? You know, stance on abortion. Yeah. You know, and, like, the real nit grit, you know, to figure out if you were compatible.
I feel like, though, that, like, that's such a traditional way to go things. Like, people nowadays are just like, you want to bang on the first or second date. All right, sweet. Let's get together. Like, they don't talk about that stuff anymore. They don't ask pronouns when they start dating. They're just like, hey, you want to, like...
Well, it depends on how you vote.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's so crazy now. Like, that's well, not even a discussion.
Well, so when you had that discussion, whenever it was, and you were like, okay, do you want kids? That's the way we phrased it, yeah. You know, because we're, you know, both our wives and us are in the same generation. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what, you know, that's just how we phrase things. How many kids do you want? How many would you like to have? Personally, I feel like almost everybody in our generation was like two, mm-hmm. you know, and then every once in a while you would hear three. Rarely would you hear four or more.
But the people that said three, I'd be like, are you a serial killer?
Well,
because who wants to be that odd kid out?
It's
because, you know, damn well two of them are going to get along and the other one's going to become like Jeffrey Dahmer and start gnawing on people.
Maybe,
like, that's just what's going to happen.
But I feel like that was just what they were used to and maybe that's what they grew up with. But what was the answer that you heard from Gina?
Gina was two.
So, and what were you?
Two. I said two or four.
So why do you now say that you're going to be pushing for a second?
Because
she hates being pregnant?
Correct.
So does Colleen, but she's still like, so the answer that Colleen gave me, because I asked her, I was like, listen, after that, I'm good with one. Like it doesn't come from a place of I want two kids. It comes from a place of I literally just absorbed and digested what you went through. And that's the other thing that nobody talks about is the actual trauma that the husband experiences watching their wife do that. But
all the people are going to get offended that,
well, no.
The
so hear me out.
Goes through so much trauma.
No, so hear me out. So there's
canceled.
Well, right. But it's, you know, Uncle Harrison, it's really the unspoken element of childbirth because there's so much emphasis on what the woman goes through.
Yeah.
Warranted. I'm not taking that away. And I'm not taking
away. But
they
should stay in the kitchen. Yeah, for sure.
No, but when I'm. What I'm alluding to and really, you know, diving into on the deep end is there is the element of watching your wife suffer at a level that you've never seen before. And it's really tough to watch, you know, the one woman that you would do anything for, literally any, like I would kill a terrorist child if that kid raised an AK and pointed it at my wife. Like I would do anything for my wife. And watching her go through that and then understanding because she wasn't always there, like her mind blocked it out because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. That's when I, you know, kind of lean in of like, I'm good with one. And then she goes, I'm not saying I'm not good with one. What I am saying is I want our one to have another. Like I want a sibling.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And they also have that memory loss that they go through as women. We can't do anything about that, but they have postpartum memory loss where they're just like, I forgot everything from childbirth. I'm good for another. I'm good for another. I'm good for another. And that's just how that's, you know, which is wild. That's like the,
I think,
you know,
that's called the Butker effect.
Yeah. Uncle Harrison. I really think it's, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to reproduce because I honestly truly believe like we're the bacteria of Earth, like
evolutionarily that's why we're here.
Yeah, but I'm like, damn, there's so much blood loss, like there's so much there's so much pain and suffering, and you can't even stand up without fainting. Like what are we doing? Because our wives are not
men.
Well, of course, but they're not like, they're not 6'4" Helgas,
right? Yeah,
you know, like they're normal American women that are, you know, they're sub 5'4", and yeah, they're fit, but like you can only do so much with so much blood loss,
right.
You know, like you just, you just moved a human out of you. Like, that's, there's a lot of dilation. There's some things we got to discuss. And right. then all of a sudden you look at me and you're like, I want another. Like, you're a savage. You know, like, that's. Yeah. And I mean, for Christ's sake, my wife's spine is fused.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. and then she's looking at me like, I want another. And I'm like, do you know?
Yeah.
Like,
mine just can't go to spin class for 6 weeks. And she's like, I can't do this. I'm like, you'll be fine. Spin class can wait. I'm just kidding. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I mean, I'm
excited for it. She
hasn't
watched an episode since 2017.
That's very fair. Yeah, she doesn't care about me or the podcast. So that's 100% fine. We're in this for the kid. It's all that we're in this for. I don't know. I just think that everything will work out. If we want to, we want to. If we want just the one, we want just the one, and everything will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, obviously she's going to be spoiled and loved and adored. I'm pumped for you guys. I really am. I'm really excited for you. I'm excited to see this new, transformation and, yep. and phase in your life. And this whole house is going to transform, which is going to be really cool.
Oh, God, yeah. Can't wait. So can we talk? We joked about him a couple times, but can we talk about Harrison Butker real quick? And, like, everything that happened?
We can. I just want to quickly shout out a local company that helped us with uplighting for our studio.
That's fair. Go for it.
No free shout outs, but they literally gave us
six
uplights to help us with our studio. Toy Brothers is a very, very well-known, respected, appreciated, and renowned DJ company in the wedding industry in Buffalo, New York. Top-tier DJ company. They have great photo booths across the board. We have a good relationship with the owner. And he had old uplights that he wasn't using, and and he gifted us six old uplights. So we have those across our studio where we record Wednesday Whiskey Reviews as well as the weekly episodes. Thank you so much to Toy Brothers. Shout out to Jeff, who built this from the ground up. He's an amazing guy. We did interview them. If you want to watch their interview, head on over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Buffalo Happy Hour, and then search Toy Brothers, and then it'll pop right up. Just awesome, awesome company to work for. They really respect and appreciate their employees, but also their clients that they work with on a day-to-day basis, year-round at this point, because the wedding industry in Buffalo has boomed, as we all have experienced and seen. But thank you for the uplights. We appreciate it. On to Uncle Harrison.
Yeah.
So
I don't know a better transition to Harrison than from Jeff Toy, because he, if I know anything, definitely wants his wife in the kitchen.
Jesus. So that's a joke. Disclaimer. So here's the thing that I think most people did not realize. And I don't think that it was discussed, abbreviated, emphasized enough from the jump. You had a Catholic giving a commencement speech at a Catholic institute to Catholics based on traditional views. That's what you're going to get. Now, I understand both sides, okay? And it makes a fantastic joke, hence why we've already made it seven times this episode. Where are you on this whole thing?
So my thing is, and this is what I take with me to the grave on everything that comes out of any type of like cancel culture or anything like that, because this is absolutely ridiculous. First of all, people in Buffalo that are getting mad, newsflash, it's not your team. So, one, why do you care about what the Kansas City Chief player did? Two, it's their kicker. Why do you care about their Kansas City? I can understand if maybe Josh Allen made these comments. Note, he did not make these comments. But I can understand if he made those comments and you're upset that those views will eventually, on a national scale, represent what Buffalo is. It's a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. If you don't like what he says, just don't watch it. That comes down to everything cancel culture. I don't care what this comedian says. If he insults me, dude, You're a nobody to my life. You don't pay my rent. You don't pay my mortgage. You don't pay anything about my entire life. You don't support me. You don't even know I exist. Why do I care about what you say at a commencement speech at a college I didn't go to about just traditional Christian values? I just don't understand why so many people are getting up in arms about something that has literally zero impact on their life. If he said something good, still zero impact on their life. If your niece went there and he was talking to your niece, maybe you can be mad. I can guarantee you the chick that posted 75 Instagram stories saying that he should be kicked off the Chiefs didn't have any relatives that went there at that time. So why do you care? Why are we so enamored with people that are saying things online and now we want to cancel them? Who cares? I'm more concerned about that Chiefs offensive lineman that just got arrested for two dog felonies because he just abused his dog. That's what I'm more concerned about because that's a shit human being. But like the kicker that just said a few words at a commencement speech, like I don't understand why you're so mad. Why are you ruining your day because of this? It just doesn't make sense.
That and why aren't we putting that same energy into Diouville who had an AI robot talk the commencement speech?
We're just so stupid.
Well, we're backwards.
Stupid.
Yeah, and backwards.
And dude, if AIs came in, I would probably root for them at this point.
I would drop an EMP.
I would be like, just come take this person's job. You're fine.
My thing is thank you to the Chiefs players that just shut down the nonsense with the reporters. And we're like, yeah, that's his opinion. He spoke them. We're moving on.
Right.
You know, like down to Andy Reid, like, okay. And
the one reporter was like, you have a lot of women on your staff. What do you think that Harrison Butker's commented on her? He's like, I don't fucking care.
I know.
Can you shut up?
Yeah.
Can we talk about football, please?
There's an element of like there's a property line and there's a fence at the end of the property line. And that's like the safeguard where people are just over it,
yeah.
You know, and there's hope in my mind of let's just call a spade. You got a Catholic and a, you know, Christian, whatever, saying those things. Got it. That makes sense for what it is. If you don't agree with it, you don't agree with it. And we're going to move on. But we're not going to remove an NFL caliber kicker off an NFL team because of words.
Didn't he just say too that the best thing that his wife did was maintain the household?
Yeah.
Which isn't even saying that your college degree is worthless and you need to drop out and maintain your husband's household. The literally only thing he said was that the best thing that his wife could have done for him was make sure that everything here was okay so we can focus on his NFL career.
I don't know, man.
I just think people are stupid.
Let me tell you something. If I work 5 days in a week, my wife works 6 days in a week, she comes home to a clean house, you know what she says? Thanks for maintaining the house.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and vice versa. If she does something that I just didn't have time to get to, thank you. It literally happened before we recorded this episode. Before I left the house, I unloaded the clean dishwasher. And she literally looked at me and said, thank you, because that's a huge help. Because as I'm leaving to record this and work, she has to feed the baby. That also appeases Uncle Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I unloaded the dishwasher. And then I put away the already washed clean dishes that didn't go in the dishwasher and then started the dinner process for our child while she walked in and just changed, you know, like just get out of your clown suit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and then get into something comfy, relax for 2 seconds. I already fed the dog, come home and get organized. And then I will leave. You will do the two things left. Right. And then we'll move on. Like it's teamwork. Yeah. It's not about gender roles and all this nonsense.
Wait until all these white women figure out that Harrison's voting for Trump.
Even if it's from jail. Yeah. I mean, dude, it's so aggravating. Call me old school. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like I was alive before Google. There's a stat of the day.
Right.
We both were. I don't know.
Were we though?
Do you remember growing up and having the thought our child, whenever we have a child, is literally going to just reverse this course? because when we're a parent, we're finally going to be able to raise them the way that we want to, because we're going to, like, it's on us as a generation to just fix this nonsense. I had that thought in literally the beginning of high school, like freshman and sophomore year, and I'm watching things and I'm observing it and I'm understanding current events. Obama just got elected and I'm sitting there thinking, like, you know what? When I have a kid.
Going back to red.
Well, I also understood the cycle.
When did our generation stop, though? What year is our generation? Do you know?
Well, the problem,
aren't we like 92 to 95 or something like that?
Yeah, and we used to be Gen Y, and they got rid of that. And then they were like, you're not Gen Y, everybody's a millennial. And now we're just going to group millennials from like 80 to 2000, whatever the hell.
That can't be true. There has to be some sort of break-off.
Listen, when we were in fourth and fifth grade, we were Gen Y. And then they removed that and then added the word millennial. And the millennials were after us for a couple years. And then they said, you know what? We're just going to group millennials. And it pissed off the generation before us. And they're like, I'm not a goddamn millennial. Like, I literally didn't have a phone until college. And we didn't have phones until high school. And then they're like, no, you're all millennials. So, all right, so look up the year range of millennial, because they added to it.
So lost generation is the first generation. That's from 1880 to 1900.
Nobody gives a shit. Go on.
I mean, I don't care at all. That's like what? Veterans? Like, who cares?
Wow. yeah, the formidable ones that built this country and defined a union? Sure.
I'm kidding. Jesus Christ. The Greatest Generation. Also an amazing album. Wasn't that from like The Who or whatever? That is 1900 to 1925. So we're sticking with 20-year increments here. The Next Generation, 1925 to 1945. What is that called? Do you know? No? The Silent Generation. They were just all mute. It was just all a bunch of mutes, mimes, just walking around, not saying anything. That's the Silent Generation. Where did that come from? Who started like the Silent Generation? That's weird, isn't it? 1946 to 1964. You know this one. What are they called? Baby.
Yeah, those are the boomers.
Yep, those are the boomers. Baby boomers. You're such a boomer, dude. The Next Generation, 1960.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
5 to 1980. We're getting into 15-year increments. You know who that is?
What is the first year of that?
1965.
Okay. What is that?
Generation X.
So our dads are boomers.
Yes, our dads are both. Our parent, well, and my mom was a boomer too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're all boomers, bro.
Okay.
I thought boomers was like grandparents. They're
No.
They old.
Right after that.
They old.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. You're old. Millennials are the next generation. So this is what was called Generation Y.
What's the first year? The 80s?
1981.
Yeah, exactly. They added to it. So it used to be, we used to be Y. And then they added and said, no, we're expanding this generational range. And now Y is grouped into millennial and we're expanding millennial.
Well, millennial is still only 15 years.
Right.
Which is significantly shorter than like, the silent generation, and or then, the greatest generation. And then you greatest have generation was 25 years.
And then you have Gen Z.
Gen Z starts in 1997 to 2012. So these generations are getting significantly shorter.
And now here's a problem. The millennials are combating the Gen Zs.
So why do you think these generations are getting shorter?
Probably because plastic is inside of our testicles.
No, but seriously, though, there had to be, I mean, statistically, we're living longer than our parents or our grandparents do.
Well, that's right? Got to like be, that's got to be why.
So, like, we're now putting, is there a population number that fits in between this? Like, why are these generations getting so short?
Yeah, I don't know the bracketing, but so here's my thought process. The millennials are literally going to be the generation that's forced to correct current events and reset the compass of the country, whether it's through voting and whether it's through literally just setting a stand, because Gen Z is like the AOCs of the world and the squad and the nonsense of like the radical left policies, you know, open border, utopia, furries. I'm all of these things, call my pronoun. And the millennials are like, God damn it. Can you just be a male or a female? And we're just going to fucking move on. I'm not going to recreate a government form to appease you because of a feeling. Like, that's not what you are.
So the baby boomers, which is what our parents' generation were.
Yeah.
Were the generation that set up the generation that's going to fix society. Right? Is that kind of what we're assuming here? Because the Generation X, 1965 to 1980, probably statistically gave birth to Gen Zs. So the Generation X are ultimately the problem because the baby boomers set up the good generation for the Generation X. So now they feel like they have to fight about if girls are girls and guys are guys.
Remember, because I was talking about the cycle.
Yeah, it's always the cycle.
And our generation acknowledged the cycle of where we were at. So yes, you have hard men create easy times. Easy times create easy men, and then easy men create hard times.
Ew, I don't want to be easy, though.
Well, that's the thing. So that's the cycle. So the greatest generation got us out of the shit. Hence World War II.
Right.
Right? And they're the dudes that, like, they jumped into Normandy, and then they again jumped later into France.
But the greatest generation were still young enough and parents to the baby boomers to where they still taught them about the hard times.
Yes. Now, here's the element
we're
of it.
We're uncovering shit here.
Here's the element of it.
All right.
The motto of the United States was you want the next generation to have it better than you did. And the greatest generation set their kids up for that. They went to war for 4 years, came home, and they're like, I want the American dream. I just killed Nazis. I just fought in France. I want to come home. I want a white picket fence. I want a yellow lab. I want a house. I want normalcy. Yeah. I want a 9-to-5. I want to relax. They had kids. They raised their kids with that goal in mind, right? Baby boomers showed up. This is what we're going to do. And then all of a sudden, as the baby boomers aged, they started voting based on where the political parties were at the time of their upbringing, and then never adapted to technology as they aged. Because after them, technology boomed. Google started in 2004. The internet was birthed. When the internet showed up, technology started increasing at a rate of which the boomers could not keep up with as a generation. Individuals could, but not as a generation. So now their kids, right? So Generation X in this case, that's the next generation, right? That you were saying is like technically is to blame.
The silent generation's kids are probably Generation X.
Yeah. So Generation X shows up and now they have this influx of technology.
They're 1965 to 1980. So by the time that they grow up and they're 14 or something, it's 1994.
Yeah. And now there's no war. It's peace. Bill Clinton is president. They're trying to get a handle on technology, but they're also getting a handle on what they were raised in. So the 90s was peak peace, suburbia, normalcy. And then all of a sudden technology kept increasing. And then we showed up. So the millennials showed up, and now we're getting the best of both worlds. We're getting life before technology, and then we're growing up with technology. So now we reach an age, 16 to 18, and we're understanding social media. The first 16 years of our life, we never had social media. We memorized people's phone numbers. We talked on the phone with our best friend for years on the phone every day after school. We played sports. It was normal.
Dude, do you remember like back in grade school when you would have to call your girlfriend's parent and be like, hey, is Jessica home?
On a rotary phone. On a rotary phone.
How awkward was that? Like you're talking to Jessica's mom and you're like, hey, is Jessica home?
Yeah.
And she's like, not yet. She's still at like softball practice. And you're like, can you have her call me when she gets home? Like that was such an awkward time.
And I remember when the crazies that were trying to date you somehow got your phone number and called your house.
Well, because there were books. Everybody's address and phone numbers were in books.
The phone book.
Yeah.
And like you had the yellow pages, you had the white pages, and you were able to find people. Like that was before social media. You had to do actual research to be like, I want to confess my love to this person after school.
Dude, your school, or at least my school, gave out school numbers where it was everybody in alphabetical order where they lived, what their phone number was.
They didn't mind.
You can find. So like my girlfriend back in fifth grade or sixth grade or whatever, I'm still a friend with her on Facebook, won't say her name, but like I could just look up her phone book and say, oh, she lives here. This is her phone number. I'm going to call her mom and see if she's home right now so I can talk to her for 3 hours.
Right. And you then, you know, to bring it back, you have, you're a sophomore, junior in high school. You get your first cell phone. And it was literally just to let your parents know where the hell you were. And then you start asking them, can I have more minutes because I want to text this girl that I'm trying to date? You know what I mean? Like, and vice versa, because the girl is now having the conversation with her parents. Like, I want to talk to this guy. And that is the thing. Now we're adults and you have unlimited access to information.
Yeah.
Right? We're 30. The internet is the internet, and now the...
We're 32. We can't say we're 30 anymore.
Well, yeah, but still. I mean, 30 to 32, what the hell's the difference?
Oh, there's a big difference.
In the grand scheme of things, though.
Well, yeah, obviously.
So our generation, if our generation started early, right? Their kids are teenagers. They're trying to process things that are now normal. When we were in high school, we're being introduced.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the perfect example is the LGBTQ community, where the first LGBT club was introduced in high school as we were leaving high school.
What, drama club?
No.
Oh.
There was drama club where you joined to literally just like...
That was a joke, Michael.
I know. Yeah, there's a lot of gays and drama club. No, but like the first LGBT.
Zac Efron was in drama club, so I'm fine with. I'm okay with everything.
I would collect
everything.
His sweat in a petri dish. but you have the gay club, right? And everyone's trying to figure out what is happening. And to us, leaving high school, it was simple. You had gay, you had straight, you had bi, and if you weren't gay, which was generally associated with men, then you were a lesbian, which was always associated with women. Got it. We leave. Now, say within college, there's a slip up at Fred Fest, right? You have a kid. Now all of a sudden you have a kid, and your kid goes and finally reaches high school. And now there's LGBT plus or LGBTQ plus minus, whatever it is
you
now.
You forgot IA.
Right. Like whatever it is now. Yeah. And they're trying to figure out like what all of this is. And the society also accepts everything. There's nothing that's not accepted. So now you have, and we talked about this 2019 off air, where I was like, dude, you have what used to be a yard for someone's house, and you had a fence that outlined your property. What's now happening is that fence is wiggling, and it's a curved line, and no one knows what their actual property is. And now in 2024, there is no fence. There's an electric fence, and you're trying to figure out like what is actually happening and what are we really looking at? What are we really doing here? And it's just this never ending, when is society going to just stop expanding to all of these different things? And then when are the people finally going to be like, enough is enough? Yeah. And that is when I've always reverted back to my initial idea and thought and opinion from end of middle school, early high school. It's on us.
Yeah.
It's literally our generation that's going to step up and be like, dude, enough is enough. And we're already starting to see it, because now we're seeing more counties vote red. We're seeing more outspoken adults during parent-teacher conferences, the PTA meetings. We're seeing a lot of people pull their kids out of public school and go to private school. We're seeing real decisions that are impacting real outcomes. Mm-hmm. College enrollments at a far, like the lowest it's ever been. Like, we're just seeing radical shifts. And in my opinion, it's like, well, what do you expect, man? Like, when is enough enough? You know, like, at the end of the day, beef comes from a goddamn cow, you know? And like, if you're trying to manifest this fake bird flu to just kill the livestock in this country, just like what they did in Europe, so that Bill Gates' farmland can be used for fake meat,
yeah,
and he can make more money, like, call a spade, but like, we're done. We have more people in our generation buying land and planting their own fucking lettuce, right, than ever before.
So do you think that the general issue comes down to the fact that currently, right now, the greatest generation has mostly passed? I mean, we're talking the end, yeah, of the greatest generation, oh, yeah, is 1925.
Yeah.
So they're mostly gone. The silent generation now is currently what's in power.
Which the silent generation fought in Vietnam.
Yeah, 1925 to 1945. So, like, they're
so
the,
yeah,
generation,
they fought in Vietnam.
They're the generation that is peaking at, like, the end of their life.
Yeah.
Like, they're almost gone at this point.
Yeah.
So that also means, though, that 1965 to 1980, Generation X, the generation that we're assuming is hypothetically ruining it all, they're now at the point where they're getting to 50. So that means that they're the ones that are not, like, they're kind of phasing to the end of their life, but they're not there yet.
Well,
so do you think that tougher times are ahead, or do you think that the baby boomers are going to push everybody out? Because the baby boomers are 1946 to 1964. Like,
no,
those two generations need to figure it out.
The silent generation, Generation X, create the hard times that the millennials are going to fight and then get us back into easy times.
So that's Generation Alpha. So Generation Alpha is 2010 to 2025.
So our kids.
Yeah.
Our kids
think about.
Well, no, it's not, because that's the cycle. So the silent generation and Generation X, here is what I believe is what caused the problem. Yeah. They're voting party line without realizing that the party's changed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they're voting hard all the way down the line. I've been raised a Democrat. I'm never not going to be a Democrat. And same with Republicans. It goes both ways. This is how I'm voting, without realizing that the parties themselves changed specifically because of the times, mm-hmm, society, technology, everything, all the variables. And I have this discussion often with my in-laws. And it's an amazing conversation. It's a beautiful conversation. It really is, because they realize that I'm not necessarily a hard, hard Republican. I'm very conservative. Like, there is a lot of things that I want from the left and agree with from the left, transverse with the Republicans, like, and the right. It's the radicalism that nobody wants. And so you have the squad, and then you have, like, the, you know, the Major Taylor Greens or whatever the hell, you know, it's
Marjorie,
just like,
yeah,
yeah, Marjorie. It's like, goddamn, you know, so it's like, you know, pick your side. But yeah, at the same time, it's not about picking a side. It's just, we want compromise. We literally want somebody that's not brain dead in office. And then we want somebody in office that's not going to jail. Like, how is that hard to ask? And the more people you talk to, the more people you realize are all in the same boat. We're all in Noah's Ark.
But we're just fighting the lesser of two evils, which,
yes,
nobody can understand.
Correct.
Nobody can fully validate who's worse, some guy that's in office or some guy that's in prison or some dude that's brain dead. Nobody can make that determination, because how are you supposed to make that determination?
That, and then, yeah, because we're logical and we're sane and we're trying to use logic to solve it. And at the same point, we're literally just asking for somebody normal to step up and bridge the gap. And nobody wants to, because it's so volatile now, yeah, and because it's so corrupt. And it always, 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 always boils down to corruption and greed. Corruption and greed is what's ruined the two-party system, yep, because we got so far away from the Constitution. And when it started, I remember this. I will never forget this day. Obama said it for the first time, that the Constitution of the country is a living, breathing document. Yep. And that was it. And I will never forget when that was said. And I will die on that hill. Because that is when it really started to get tumultuous, and then 2016 was the volcanic eruption. But when Obama first said that, that was it. And most
because
people...
Because it's not. Correct, clarify, yeah. Correct. Because it's not.
You just got to follow it. Like, there's a reason why it's lasted and worked as well as it has for as long as it has. Because when you really break it down, it's not a democracy. It's a republic. And
it's a democratic republic.
The democratic republic with capitalism that's blended with socialism is what makes us work as a nation. And we got so far away from that because of politics and nonsense.
So I'm going to ask one more question before we leave today's episode, because somebody made a good point right now around this whole 2024 election, because we're coming up close to it. And
we're
really, really close. And currently we have somebody that is literally going to jail. And we have somebody
potentially sentencing still has to happen. And
he's
going
to jail.
There's going to be an appeal.
There's absolutely no way that judge prosecuted Trump on 32 charges and he doesn't go to jail. No way. No way.
Well, the jury did.
Of his peers in Democratic New York City. The judge did. He literally told the judge that it doesn't matter what you guys agree on. As long as you agree a crime has been committed, we can prosecute. Like, it was the judge. So we have somebody that's literally going to jail and somebody that's a Roomba who has no idea where he's going. He's bouncing off walls. He's falling down. We are at a point where this next election, what are your thoughts on this? Because somebody said this is really going to determine whether the American vote actually matters.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Is this election the most important election in our lifetime? Because if it goes one way or the other, it will literally form another civil war.
This country can't stomach a civil war. I don't think it'll cause a civil war. I just think it's going to finally reach rock bottom. And then from that point, the people will finally regain power from the government. And I'm not saying in a civil war sense. I'm saying from a voting sense and just an outcry. Because we have in the 1700s, in the 1800s, we didn't have social media, so we had to fight. There's other ways, nonviolent ways to fight, and it's going to be the outcry on social media that's really going to change the course of the country. So depending on the outcome.
But the problem with that is that China and Russia are fully, fully ingrained into our social media platforms, where they're making so many fake accounts to spark outrage to absolutely decimate the American population on social media. 90% of what you see on social media isn't real. It's like Kentucky bourbon. All of it's from MGP. You can't trust anything because it's all coming from the same source. Like, everything online is coming from Russia or China trying to destroy our population. That's the thing with social media. I love the platform, but all of it's fake.
You don't think we're doing that to them?
I don't know, because you hear the reports of China saying that
it's because
their
we
TikTok,
live here.
But their TikTok is 100% regulated to where they only see math equations and success and things outside of that, where we're seeing literal porn on our TikTok and our Twitter,
which is
like, there's regulations around that. So, no, I don't think we're doing the same thing to them.
That's what we're being told. We also have a friend that just came back from China and never felt more safe. And he said, it's the same thing. I watch their news and they're saying the same nonsense that we're saying, except they're saying it about us and we're saying it about them. It's all fake. It's all a narrative.
Are we living in a simulation? We're going to get into that next week when we talk about literal simulation
theory. I don't know if it's a simulation, but dude, honestly, when I, not to sound pretentious, but when I lived in Europe for a year on DOD orders, right? When I was deployed for a year and I was watching Euro news, okay? It was 2017 and 2018. Now, granted, that's golden years of my life because Uncle Donnie was in office. I'm kidding. But when I'm watching the news.
Stop Harrison Butker.
When I'm watching the news in Europe and it's Euro news and it's no longer Fox, CNN, MSNBC, the
pour
nonsense.
Some more whiskey, bro. They have their own struggles.
No.
Just Fox and CNN.
No, all of
BBC
them.
BBC and Piers Morgan.
It's literally headline, meat and potatoes, moving on. Headline, meat and potatoes, moving on. And it's at one anchor for their segment of 3 hours, and they talk about it on a global scale. Australia has wildfires. They've lost 7.4 acres due to the wildfires. These are the people responding to put out the wildfires. Over in China, we are seeing their GDP increase by 2.4%, mainly because they just built another plant in Africa. No news in Africa because cheetahs are running around. Wine exports out of France have increased in the last 2 months. The U.S. is battling mass shootings in Chicago. China is dealing with X, you know, boom, boom, boom. And that's it for 3 hours. That's literally how it's presented on Euro News. There's no nonsense. And then they show it. And then it's like, oh, Taiwan had a hurricane. And then all of a sudden there's a mudslide that follows, reporting so far 80 dead, more to follow tomorrow. Like, that's what it is. Like, they're talking about real current events, no talking heads. Flip over to Fox News. Donald Trump drank out of a water glass after a press conference today. Here's the video. They show it. He holds up his pinky finger while drinking awkwardly out of a water glass, and he's got like a duck face pursed lips.
Yeah, dude, his hands are so small, bro. Didn't you
right.
see that?
Small hands, right? And then all of a sudden, let's talk about this. For 25-30 minutes, they're talking about Donald Trump talking out of a glass. Let's hear what the left has to say. Let's hear what the right has to say. What kind of toilet paper was attached to the bottom of his shoe as he walked onto the plane?
Well, like, that's all
that's
because
not news, bro. It's reality TV.
But that's all because that's what gets the views, and
exactly.
views get the money.
Exactly. Because again, boil it all down to nothing, yeah. right? Boil it down to what? Ratings. What does ratings mean? Money. What does money mean? Greed and corruption.
Pharmaceuticals paying for the ads.
Exactly. So if you boil it all down, it always comes back to money, greed, and corruption. That's it. Like,
so back to next week's episode when we talk about simulation theory.
Right. Like, it's just, dude, it's so fake. It's so fake. None of it matters. But like, this election, I don't think leads to a civil war, but I think it leads to the final, like, the final stand of the people saying, enough is enough. We know you're bullshit. We know you're bullshit. Bring somebody worth a pile to piss in and get rid of this nonsense. And we know it's corrupt. We know you're forcing RFK out. We know you forced Tulsi Gabbard out. We know this.
But that goes back to my original point of, like, Trump and Biden are both part of the silent generation. So is this last shoe dropping saying baby boomers are in charge now?
No, I think millennials are in charge and baby boomers got to follow suit because the
baby
boomers
overspent.
But baby
boomers are the ones that raised us.
But they also overspent. Generation X and the baby boomers Silent Generation and Generation X have done nothing but spend money,
right.
which has been done nothing but hurt the millennials. Right. And now what is it? Gen Z? No, not Gen Z. After
Gen
them.
Alpha.
Gen Alpha.
Our kids.
The fact that our daughters are going to be raised in Gen Alpha.
Alpha,
let's
brother. Let's
go, bro.
Dude. That means their kids are going to be
Bravo. They got to
no,
be.
No, they can't be Bravo because it skips a generation. So that means
they're Charlie and then it goes to Bravo?
Yeah. Well, no, because like that means that Gen Zers are raising Gen Bravos.
Okay.
So beta males. That's what we're talking about. All right. Well, thanks
for
joining.
The cycle continues.
Thanks for joining today's episode. I don't really know what we talked about. We talked a whole lot about nothing, but all I know out of all of this conversation was praise Harrison Butker. You know what I'm saying? Just kidding. So yeah, thanks for joining today's episode. Let us know what you think in the comments down below, or what episode you would like or topic you would like us to talk about next week. And we're going to jump into next week's episode. So actually, let us know in the comments what you would like to talk about in 2 weeks, because that's when this is going to be posted. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Please remember to always drink responsibly, be a good person, and Michael,
do not litter.
We're out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.